Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to another in the series of Read the Word, where we're reading through the Word chronologically. Throughout this year, it's been a great time. Doing a little bit of makeup here today, but this is the epistles that Paul, the writings of Paul to the church, and different one of the believers that he met and pastored and ministered to. And man, when you look at a map, and I've been saying this the last couple of days, this is a great Christmas gift to buy for somebody. Rose Book of Bible Charts, Maps, and Timelines. It's a really good one. Very simple to understand. When you look at the map of what Paul did in his lifetime and three missionary journeys and a trip to Rome, this man changed the whole world and what he did throughout his life and started out killing Christians in the name of God. You might be a bad person, but I don't think you is as bad as Paul, but who knows? Maybe you are, but you know what? Doesn't matter who you are. Right now, just say that. Everybody say this with me. Jesus, I receive you into my life because I know I need you. Just like he comes in and he ministers to you his grace, his mercy, and his love in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to go read the book of Colossians and the book of Philemon today on this program. And two great stories in the kingdom. Ready? Hold your Bible up. Make your confession. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am because he is the great I am. You said. I receive the word of God as a seed planted in my heart. So it can produce a hundredfold return and more in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name. See, my wonderful wife is with me all the way in Michigan. Bless you, love. Thanks for being a part of this. Hi, Lee. Hi, Joanne. Love you guys. Thanks for being a part of the program with us. Click the share button. Send it to anybody you know. It's a great program. Here we go. Colossians chapter 1. Now, the Colossian church is not a church that Paul actually went to when he was on any of his journeys, but it was close enough to the Church of Ephesians and Philadelphia and Laodicea and Miletus and Myra and all the other places where he may have gone that Paul had many people from Colossae, the city of Colossae, join with him and come to see him. And just like great revivals happen, when revival starts happening, people flock to that place. They did it in Toronto. They did it up in northern Canada. Did it down in Florida. They did it in California. When in Kentucky, when the great revival happened there, people flocked to it. In Pennsylvania, they flocked to that. Wherever there's been a revival, people have flocked to that area. And they want to be a part of it because why? God is speaking to his people. The book of Colossians now is Paul warning them of not becoming intellectual in their mind. God wants you to be intelligent, but he doesn't want you to trust in intellectualism. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why? God's living in you. Pastor, I don't know how to have faith. Well, Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, is living inside of you if you've been born again. So faith is in here. Now you got to get your mind to slow down, open up this book and read it. And hear a minister of the gospel like me. And we'll help you know who Jesus is. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. I want to preach, but we've got to read it. Here we go. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother. So Timothy's with him. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Paul said, grace and peace to you in every letter. Make sure you always have a good cup of coffee with you. Grace, peace, and a good cup of coffee. Verse 3, we give thanks to God our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, as it has also in all the world. I mean, Paul is preaching the gospel all over the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it also among you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Epaphras is one who had gone to Colossae and ministered the grace of God there, since Paul can't go everywhere. People would get born again, filled with the Spirit, be trained by Paul. He'd send them into a place just like Paul was the pastor at Ephesus for a period of time. Timothy was. All right, now, 8, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. I love this prayer. I pray it over the believers here at our church regularly, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom, wow, and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You would fully please him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. We have an inheritance. Romans 8, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. Verse 13, he, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The book of Colossians is going to talk all the way through it. I mean, it's only four chapters that Jesus is the greatest authority there is on the face of this earth. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus was the first one to be born again from the dead, from hell, born again to new life. So, doesn't matter what hell has tried to place on you, hell has no authority over you. Jesus already conquered it, nailed it to the cross. We're going to see that in a minute. Oh, I just want to preach. 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth. Jesus was the creator. The visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Acts says, Paul saw the plaque to the unknown God, and he said, I know that God. In him we live and move and have our very being. 18, he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And we'll see it in a couple more sessions here. When we read Ephesians, Jesus was raised high next to the Father, Father's right hand, high above all powers and all authority. There's nothing greater than Jesus. And he lives, and you get this revelation. He lives in here. He's not way out there somewhere. He's in here. He is inseparable from you if you just walk with him. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have Bible college. You don't have to act like you know anything. You don't have to act like you want to be anything. You just walk with God and let him use you like he wants to. Some of you, he'll use you till the last breath you take because you're a loving, giving, caring person. There's not a mean bone in your body. He wants to be a blessing. I made it all the way to verse 19. We're almost there. Pray for me, love. I'm having trouble. I'm just wanting to preach today. 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He redeemed us. He bought us back. And he gave us access. 21. You who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he's reconciled you. You've been made right with the Father. And your sins will never be held against you. 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded, steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to the saints. Once you're born again, all the mysteries of the kingdoms are now yours. God doesn't want you to ever be stuck in a mystery ever again. Pastor, the Bible says that there's things that man will just never understand. Yeah, it does say that. But it doesn't say that man shouldn't try to understand and that God won't reveal continually to us all the time. You look at the difference of, we watch just A Wonderful Life and it's been seen as such a wonderful movie. The difference between the revelation of God in 47 to 2022, it's night and day, the revelation of God. And I've gone to preaching in a lot of my place. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages, from generation, has now been revealed to the saints. 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. This is the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's living in you. You don't have a problem knowing him. You have a problem saying, I don't know him. He lives in here if you've been born again. Christ is in here. You might say, man, that's a pretty heavy-duty revelation. Yeah, it is. 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. chapter 2. Not philosophy, but Christ. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Laodicea, I just looked at that. Laodicea is just a little bit to the north and the west of Colossae. And they're all right there, Colossae, Laodicea, Hierapolis, Ephesus, Trugaleum, and Miletus. They're all right in that same area right there. But when you think about Paul traveling on his feet, they're not as quick to get to as we have Amtrak, a plane, a train, you know, whatever. Goodness sakes. Verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So any philosopher got what he's got from the word of God and from the knowledge of God. Verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Sounds good. And empty deceit, but it ain't good. According to the tradition of man. Let me say something here. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Well, what's my soul? Your mind, your willpower, and your emotions. You are not a soul. You are a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, and you live in a body, three distinct parts of you. Your spirit is what's been born again. Your body might fight you on that, but don't let it, because your spirit should always be in control of the triune being you are. You are a spirit. You have a soul. That's your mind, your will, your emotions. That's the thinking part of your being. And your body is the earth suit you wear that gives you legal right to function on this earth. If when this earth suit perishes, you got to go to heaven or hell, one of the two. So Paul's saying, don't let anyone deceive you with empty deceit philosophies, according to the tradition of men who don't know God. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now watch this. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. He's the fullness of it all and we're complete in him. Why? Because he lives in you. I'm going to get this inside of everybody that listens to me and follows this ministry. God Almighty certainly sits on the throne, but by the Spirit of God, he lives inside of you. And he wants you and me to learn to only do what he does and only say what he says. And all it is learning how to have a relationship with God. That's all it is. And you treat him like he's your father and he lives in you. Treat him like he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I just texted my dear friend Doug Shattuck. He's a very good friend of mine. But Doug can only stand beside me, in front of me or behind me. And he's going to fall asleep sooner or later. God never sleeps. I'm going to read verse 9 again. For in him all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells. And you are complete in him who's the head of all principality and power. In whom you were also circumcised with circumcision, not made with hands, by putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh, but by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, that's why you're baptized. Jesus went down into hell and then rose again. In which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses. That fast. Having wiped out the handwriting of ordinances which was against you, the sins that you've committed. He has taken it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. The arrest warrant that was against you and the eternities because you sinned. He nailed it to the cross. That's awesome, isn't it? Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or noon or a new moon or the Sabbath, which are just a shadow of the things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you in your reward, taking delight in false humility. A lot of people try to act holy. They try to act holy, and every action they have is unholy. They're bitter, they're hateful, they're mean, they're nasty. Oh, don't try to act holy and then not be. The worship of angels, intruding into those things which has not been seen, vainly puffed up by the flesh. 19. Not holding fast to the head. Notice that word is capitalized. That's God, Jesus, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with increase that is from God. Ephesians and now Colossians are going to talk to us about the body. Corinthians 2. Verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations that are not of God? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. Your hair can only be so long. Your dress can only be so short. You can only wear this much makeup or none at all. Verse 22. Which all concerns things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and the doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Chapter 3. If you were raised with Christ, and I'm going to change the if to since. Since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. That doesn't mean don't enjoy life, go fishing, go hunting, enjoy your yard. It doesn't mean you shouldn't, but don't make that the ultimate goal of your life. Use those things to be a blessing to people. Verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on this earth. And he's not saying kill yourself. He's saying get rid of fornication, uncleanness, evil passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Get rid of it. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put up all these. Listen to this. Here's the next list. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language out of your mouth. There's some people that never say a cuss word, but they're the meanest old snake you ever met in your life. Make you not even want to be around. Matter of fact, Proverbs says, better to be on the rooftop in a rainstorm than in a house with a dripping woman. That's why the women go shopping, because they can't put up with a gnarly old man. But it's equal opportunity. I talk to the men and the women. I'll read it again. Verse 8, put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Now, wait. I want everybody to know something. There's not a one of us that won't have to deal with this till the day we die. Pastor, you don't act like you go through it. All right, you go through it. I literally spent all day on the phone yesterday trying to solve a problem with the most ignorant bunch of folks that I know they can see the answer, and they won't even do it. Customer service. But you still can't cuss them out, no matter how angry you make it. And they're most certainly not going to help you if you get angry. They're just going to hang up on you. And then they're going to write a note. And everybody else that answers that is going to see the same thing about you. You got to deal with it. All of us do. Verse 10, 9, do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created them. For there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. In other words, there ain't nobody on the earth better than anybody else. All of you multi-hundred billionaires, you ain't nothing. If you turn that all your wealth into the kingdom and blessing people's lives, now you'll be something. But what's 100 billion for the next million years? Ain't nothing. It's just money. Number 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, to God the Father through him. Giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus in everything you do. Think about this. How many times in the day that we live are people totally confused about their life? And you and I may not even realize what we're doing, but it'll be a blessing to them if you just respond in blessing. Some of you know I was caught in a blizzard back in November down here, and I was there for 2 days in the truck stop. Hang on just a second. Let's have a drink of coffee. At one point, when the store was still open, I walked up to the door, and they had one of those snowplows that's got wheels on it, the long snowplow that's got wheels and it's angled a little bit. Well, the sidewalk all the way up to the door was probably 3 inches of snow. I just grabbed it, pushed the snow out into the driveway, and pushed again, opened up about a 4 foot wide path there. I don't know. I saw it and I did it. Why? I'm somebody that likes to help. I don't like sitting around having people wait on me. I'm the guy that wants to get up and do it. And it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Every action that we walk by when God says, get up and do that for them, we'll be held accountable for it on the other side of glory. Because to him that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. Anyways, so I walked in. I got, I don't know, chips and coffee or something. I don't know. Walked up to the counter and the lady said, that's free today. Like, really? She goes, yeah, I saw what you did out there. Like, what did I do? She goes, you shoveled off my sidewalk for me. I'm like, oh, ma'am, it was just sitting there. I figured it might as well be a help. She goes, yep, and that's free. See, that's what God wants us to be, not selfish, not lazy. Because selfish and lazy never produces anything. And you want to be able to, you know, wait, I'm making it happen. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. I just, there's no way around it. I can tell my wife's praying for me, but I got preach on me today. I can preach this book. I'm in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here it comes. Wives, submit to your husbands. As is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Wives, treat your husband in a way that they don't have to be bitter. Husbands, see how this can go all day long? All day long. It goes all day long. If you walk with God, you'll be right with him because you can't make nobody else do anything. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Father. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, now watch this. Obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. He who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there will be no partiality. God's even saying to the employees, let me say it this way. If you as an employee are concerned about how God views you as an employee, you will always make your employer glad because you'll do what's right. You will do what's right. Chapter number 4. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Boy, that's a serious one right there. A lot of employers don't pay their people right, man. They're rich on this earth, but man, there's a day coming when you're going to stand before God Almighty and give an account for every one of those wage earners who cried out against you because you didn't treat them right. Verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Look at this. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Yeah. 7. Tychicus, beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. That's not gossip. That's an assignment by Paul. Tell him how things are going. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who's one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who's one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and for those who are in Laodicea and those who are in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it's read also in the church of the Laodiceans, that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation, by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. And now the book of Philemon. Right after Titus. Philemon chapter 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Philemon had a church in his house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's opening that he gives everywhere he goes. I thank my God, making mention of you in my prayers, hearing of your love and your faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Man, there's a whole message to preach right there. For we have great joy and consolation in love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, my brother. Now, the plea for Onesimus. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sakes, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back to you. Therefore, receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be compulsion, as it were, but voluntarily. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And what had happened, Onesimus had been a servant or a slave of Philemon. And he had, whatever, got angry, left, and got to Rome and found Paul. You know how God does it. You run from him, and then he's standing right there saying, and then you run that way, and he's like, I'm over here. And then you run around the other side of the tree, and he's like, how you doing? In him we live and move and have our very being. Don't run from God, because you just waste a bunch of time. Just start saying yes. Verse 17, if you then count me a partner, receive him as you would me. If he's wronged you or owes you anything, put it on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will even do more than what I say. Meanwhile, Prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. Now, if you go over here to Timothy, we're going to read in a little bit. Paul said about Demas, it says that Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world. That's sad. That's not a statement that any of us ever want to make, ever once in any part of our life. But that's why Paul and all the writers say, be faithful to the very end. Now, we always pray the prayer of salvation. So I want you to pray this prayer with me, because you never know who might be with us who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe you've been away from God and you're coming back to him. This prayer isn't magic. This prayer has to be said from the depths of your heart. This prayer doesn't exclude the fact that you'll never have to pray again. This prayer declares that you know our God and that you want to walk with God. You want his help. He created you. He knows how to help you walk with him. Ready? Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I know I need you in my life every day. And according to John 3:16, when I believe in you, you will give me everlasting life. Here's your place. Say it boldly. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God. And you rose again on the third day just for me. Put your hands out like this and just say, I receive you into my life, Jesus. All of your grace and your mercy. All of your love and your righteousness. Filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Jesus, I believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you live within me from this day forward forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You might say, Pastor, I can tell something just happened on the inside of me. Yeah. God Almighty just filled you with his presence and his spirit. It's impossible for you to remember every sin you've ever committed. So when you say, Jesus, I receive you into my life, he comes in. Well, when he comes in, he brings his blood, he brings his name, he brings the word, he brings his righteousness. All your sins are thrown into the sea of his forgiveness. They're purged. Never to be remembered against you another day. You're made white as snow. And he gives you his righteousness to live by. A force that nothing can overcome. And now your answer is every day, walk with God. Don't worry about how do I become a Christian? Where's the rules and regulations? Nah, ain't no rules and regulations. Walk with God. Because only he knows where you are. And he'll lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, no matter what anybody else says about you. Walk with him every day. And I guarantee you, when the day the trumpet blows, you'll go. Because you're walking with him every day. Get your Bible, like we said earlier. Begin to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts. You'll be surprised how much it means to you. That you're born again in Jesus' mighty name. Well, I want to stick around, but I got much to get done yet, and I really want to just preach, but you can't preach. This is read the word. We'll see you again real soon right here. Make sure you click like, subscribe, and hit the bell so every time we go live, you get that notification. and you'll be a part of it. This is a church, community of faith. If you want to be a part of it, you're welcome. All you got to do is just show up. We're here preaching every day, teaching you the word of faith, helping you to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See you again real soon. Remember this. We say this every time we come here. We love you. We do love you. And God loves you. And Jesus will always be Lord. See you soon.